On today's episode of Match Week Edition on The Breakaway, Rob McAllister, Sac Republic FC play-by-play announcer, we talk Malik Foster's, his comeback, and his heroic goal to give Sacramento the 1-0 victory, the new three in the back, and how that changes things for Sacramento and why that decision was made, and much, much more, all on today's episode of The Breakaway. Visit our friends at VJB Cellars in the heart of the Sonoma Valley and feel as though you've stepped into an Italian piazza. Taste award-winning Italian varietals, enjoy authentic wood-fired pizzas, and finish your visit with a scoop of gelato. A perfect way to spend your day, and only a quick 90-minute drive from Sacramento to a slice of Italy in the Sonoma wine country. Visit VJBCellars.com or give us a call to plan your visit today. Grow your business with Citizens Business Bank. Since 1974, Citizens Business Bank has created banking relationships by focusing on their customers and helping them achieve more for their businesses, their employees, and the communities they serve. Choose a team that can help you achieve your goals by visiting cbbank.com to learn more. Citizens Biz Bank, member FDIC. At Elk Grove Charter School, our students chase their dreams. Students advance at their own pace. EGCS offers flexible schedules, small class sizes, and accelerated learning in a fully accredited learning environment. We help students balance their academic goals while pursuing their passions in club sports, performing arts, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. Elk Grove Charter School is now enrolling. Learn more by going to egcs.egusd.net or give us a call at 916-714-1653. We're confident our students will astound you. All right, let's do it. Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
Bend it in the box! Unbelievable strike!
My goodness, what a defensive play!
Half the crowd can't even believe it!
All right, Rob McAllister is here, fresh off of 3 points yesterday, Mother's Day, and you were on the call on Fox 40, you and Adam Moffitt. It was so good to listen to you guys. And a big 3 points after a couple matches where Sacramento thought they should have gotten 3 points and against New Mexico and Vegas. So it was nice to go on the road, even though it was a New York Red Bulls 2 team that's one of the bottom of the tables in each conference. But 3 points is 3 points on the road, first road win. You got to be relatively pleased with that performance.
Third game, 8 days, you travel 3,000+ miles and you're not staying at home. You're playing on artificial turf. It was windy out. You had rain and training the day before. You got to take it. I don't think it was the prettiest game. And I think Mark Briggs even spoke about that after the match. But hey, Malik Foster comes in and gets a big time goal for you. And I think they did enough. Credit to Red Bulls too. I think they came out very physical, which they hadn't been all year. And they sort of felt like, hey, we're going to take it to them because they're probably a little bit weary in travel and jet lag. And the Republic did just enough. And so, hey, that 3 points at the end of the season is still 3 points, no matter how you look at it. And great win. Honestly, great win coming back to play Phoenix for Open Cup.
For everyone, you know, ESPN Plus, will be on the match on Wednesday. I didn't even ask, are you going to come to the match? How are you going to, cause you're not calling this one. So you're going to enjoy it a little bit differently. What's your game plan?
I'll just be watching it from home. I got kid duty at, you know, so my wife's working at an event. So we'll be watching the game together. If it actually might be past his bedtime. So I'll be at least watching from home, but I do miss those games. We used to love doing Open Cup matches. It was so fun getting to see teams that you weren't familiar with or MLS teams coming to town. So I missed those games. I wish we still did them.
Yeah. I'm not sure when did that change? 18, 19?
Well, I think it was 19. So that's when the US Open Cup basically took all the broadcasts in-house essentially.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember. But you mentioned it, Malik Foster, the hero, what a great story that was. And you guys hit on it all over the broadcast, which was excellent. Comes in his first match of the year after being injured in the Fresno or the Central Valley Fuego. I keep doing that in preseason after scoring a goal, got injured. It's been out the beginning of this season, gets his first chance and scores a goal in the game winner on the road. And it was good. He had a little celebration, got a yellow card for it, but hey, at that point he didn't care. It was a great finish. Arshamed almost under hit the ball on the pass. And Malik made the finish though. And so credit to him, what just a great story for him and an opportunity. Now a guy who has been battling with injuries quite a bit the past 2 years, but you know, now when we talk about the depth of this roster, this is a guy coming back who I'm assuming his confidence is going to be flying high after the goal yesterday.
What Malik brings you is so much pace and speed. And so you don't need him for 90 minutes right now. You just need him for these 10, 20, 30 minute bursts. And with Archimed and Martinez, it gives you a different look from those two, who I think are a little bit more of a similar style of player. So I think what now Mark Brigg has at his disposal is massive for this team, because especially at end of games, his pace is like no other. And unlike last year where he missed so much time, he was fit going into the start of the season and unfortunately got hurt right before it started. It's going to take him a little bit of time to get game ready and to be able to play a full 90. But I think for him, this is a guy that you don't really need him full 90. You need his pace 30 to 40, 50 minutes a match. And I think that'll be something that will be perfect for this team moving forward.
And we've seen substitutions become a huge factor early on for Sacramento this season. A lot of late goals coming from subs, Malik Foster being another one of those guys. And I think a lot of the credit for that needs to go to Mark Briggs for making the right decisions and bringing guys in and putting them in good spots to finish. We've seen it happen on multiple different occasions. But with a guy like Malik Foster, what can he bring to the table? And you kind of touched on it a little bit. What can he bring to the table for this team that maybe they don't necessarily have on the roster with some of his speed?
Well, substitutions bring you an opportunity to play freely. I think when guys come in as a sub, there's no expectations for what they have to do in managed time. They know there's a clock and it's probably only going to be 20, 30 minutes at most. So they can go as hard as they possibly can. And they are in there to inject some life and potentially score a goal in a game. So when you have a guy like Malik Foster who can blaze past anybody, it gives you such a deep threat that the center backs who have been working hard for most of the game going against Dougie or Luther, it's now a different look and they have to switch their mindset. So when you have players that do different things and different skill sets, it really changes the pace of the game. I think Emil Cuello does things very differently than Zeke Lewis does, which is better. That's up for debate. But what each of them do, if you put them in a different time of the game, they can alter what the opponent has been used to seeing for most of the match. And it gives guys like Rodrigo Lopez different opportunities to distribute in ways to different players in different spaces that back line or midfield has not used to have been seen for 60 plus minutes. So to me, substitutes just can be really key when used properly. Now I'm going to go on a tangent here for you, but the one thing about soccer, we have not seen a massive overhaul in thinking about the game in quite some time. Baseball and the way that we started shifting and using on-base percentage, basketball, kind of the D and three, get length and really try to take advantage of the three-point shot. The Warriors did that. So to me, there's an opportunity in soccer now to use substitutes now that you have five, not just at the end of the game in the 60-70th minute. I'm waiting for that coach to come in and just think about guys only playing 45, 55 minutes and then turn it on. If you have a deep enough team, now there's but if there's opportunities to play a different way and maybe you come out in a completely different style. And I don't know what that looks like. It would obviously be hard to train that way, but I think it would take some time to develop, but there's an opportunity for substitutions to be used much greater than I think they are right now. Obviously you have injury concerns and 90 minutes is a long time, but I think there's a real opportunity that could be exploited by someone here in the next couple of years and how injuries are part of it or how substitutions are used in the way the flow of the game.
So you're saying, hey, just so you know, I'm a coach talking to you. You're in the starting 11 tonight. I only need you to go 45 minutes. You don't have to worry about that load management of making sure you're able to go 90. I only need you to go hard for 45 minutes and then you have a sub on at halftime. That kind of model?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know what that looks like. And you could play with it. I'm sure there'd be analytics at some point to say, actually, the key moment is an hour in, because then things start to open up in the back. And there's always a different style. So I think you'd have to play a different style. So, I mean, we could do a whole podcast on this alone. You'd probably have to get really deep analytically about when the right time and when goals are scored. But there is an opportunity, I think, when the game does open up so much more that maybe you're not starting a guy like a Malik Foster who maybe should be starting and saying, well, I'm going to hold him because I know the game's going to open up and he's going to be better able to exploit the opponent in a way if I can use his pace for 30 minutes at full speed versus chances I can get, you know. So that, I think he's just trying to toy with that. And Mark's probably doing that to some extent, figure out, okay, who are the right subs at the right time? I always go back to Wilson Nishaw, was like the perfect substitute for this team a couple of years ago because he knew his role. He came in at a certain point of the game and he injected life at that moment. So we're only 9 games in, but maybe there is a moment here in this season where it starts to formulate into a way that says, okay, these two guys are going to come in at around this mark and really change the point of the game. So I don't know if that will happen. We'll have to wait and see. But I think this bench and this team is so deep. I think Mark's going to be able to find a way to use more of these guys, which then allows you to go 34 matches and see most of these guys play all 34. So that's what's tough. I think most of these teams have to manage these workloads with US Open Cup and the 34 match season. You can't play attacking style press high for 34 plus matches and then go to playoffs and also have a US Open Cup run. You just can't do it. So you've got to figure out ways to do different things in different ways.
Right. No, I love it. I think that's a great point. I agree with you. I think there is some definitely advanced analytics that are coming that in soccer. I want to start, since we're talking analytics, expected goals the last couple matches. Sacramento 1.55 on Sunday, and then the New Mexico match, I think they was 1.79, which is, I don't necessarily want to dive in on that number. The number I do want to dive in on is, we talk about the kind of the formation change. New Mexico United on Wednesday night, 0.42 expected goals, and New York Red Bulls, 0.96. Now, the three in the back, the change we saw two matches ago, I believe, and I don't know the exact reasoning for the going to three in the back. We do know that the three center backs are extremely talented. Connor Donovan, who was battling back from injury early on in the season, and Dan Casey and Lee Desmond were so good, you couldn't bring one of them out. Donovan scores a goal. Dan Casey has 2 on the season. And the three in the back so far for Sacramento, the two games they've implemented are the only 2 clean sheets of the year, at least in league play, other than the 6-0 win against the Timbers and the in Open Cup. But it seems like the three in the back for Sacramento, it seems like that's the way to go, at least from the defensive standpoint.
Connor Donovan allows you to play that way. And Lee Desmond and Dan Casey have also been playing really well. So you have 3 veteran, smart, physical center backs. It's almost a shame to keep one of them on the bench. Right. And what that allows you to do is allow Duke Lacroix, Jack Gurr to really get up in the attack and take more chances. Now, most teams think you're going to attack the Republic by exploiting that. Well, when you have Connor Donovan, Dan Casey, and Lee Desmond in, it's harder to exploit that. It might be easier with just 2 in the back, but Connor Donovan plays up that spine so well. He's able to distribute. He doesn't get rattled. You know, you look at his matches, you just focus on him. There is barely or rarely a mistake that is made by Connor Donovan. Now, what's interesting is you see Lee Desmond, who will kind of suck in behind a little bit a lot of times when just paired with Dan Casey. So I'm interested to see what Lee Desmond does more, but we saw a little bit of New Mexico where he got further up the field because he does bring that skill set. So it's interesting to see how this will play out. But those three in the back, there's really no reason not to go to that. And what it then allows Mark to do is have just one holding midfielder and maybe a Luis Felipe type or Matt LaGrasse or someone or Nick Ross, or allows maybe a Nick Ross to move forward, allows Rodrigo Lopez more space to come and get the attack, not waste so much of Rodrigo Lopez coming back to the ball because you have 3 guys who can distribute it to Roro further up the field. So you're saving Roro for more important times in the game than coming back and having to dribble an extra 20 yards or make another pass and then get another pass. So I think it helps the attack. Now, we didn't see it against New Mexico, unfortunately, at the end result. I think there were some big time saves that were also made by their goalkeeper.
Yep.
And you know, that was a tough draw, I think, for the club, because they felt like they won that. They felt like they probably should have won the Vegas game as well. And I like the attitude, but I love that three in the back. And I think it's something we'll see more of, and it allows Zico and striker up top and another winger to really get tucked in underneath, make those fill in runs. And so I think it's going to end up being a real beneficial for this team.
And you've talked about too, like seeing Duke Lacroix and Viadere kind of making overlapping runs, and that ability to do that is really good. And I think also the way that Duke Lacroix and Jack Gurr put balls in on crosses is really impressive. And I think Sacramento has a good opportunity to exploit them even more with three in the back. Okay, let's switch it up. I want to give Rob McAllister a little victory lap here. I don't know. Last time we had you on, El Paso was like 0-5. And I commented this to you on this on Twitter today. They are now in a playoff spot. They're red hot. Ironically enough, Sacramento plays them in 9 days in their next league game. But as you mentioned, they're a good team. They just had a rough start, and now they're right back in the playoff hunt, and probably will continue to move up depending on. So just wanted to give you that. Just give you the floor here. Take your little victory lap because you called it, despite the fact that I said I thought they were done.
Well, they just had too many veteran guys to be completely done. I just felt they were younger. It's hard to come back. You're not going to maybe, you know, bounce back from a terrible start. However, I don't think they can afford another lapse in the season, especially not a long one. So I think if they drop another 4 or 5 games in a row, I think they're out. They're done. So it's a little bit more pressure. Maybe they'll just play better because of that pressure. Some teams don't. Some teams do. So maybe they're a team that needs a little bit more pressure on them to perform. So we'll see. I think this much different battle than what would have been a couple of weeks ago versus El Paso. And down there, it's a brutal place to play. It's a small baseball field. It's one of my least favorite places for this club to travel to each and every year. And they like to exploit that up, you know, that way that they can keep things tight and it doesn't allow you to do what you want to do. So we'll see how Mark and them adjust to that field, but it's not a great place to play.
I think it's very interesting to see what teams are going to end up in the top seven in the West. Cause gosh, this conference is deep, especially compared to the East. There's a lot of teams that can make a run. And a lot of teams that are beating each other when you don't expect it, which I think is impressive as well. So, and we'll talk about Phoenix in a little bit. They've been hot and cold lately, but we can talk about that at the end. I wanted to touch a little bit on our guy, Rafa Jauregui, who didn't get a lot of minutes early on in the season, but the last couple matches is starting to find his own a little bit. What are your what have you seen from him? We got to see him come off the bench in the Lights game, played really well. Briggs gave him the start against New Mexico, and then I thought yesterday might have been his best game so far we've seen him play.
He was a game changer against New York. I mean, I think he came in there and did exactly what the Republic needed at that moment in time. And I thought he was brilliant. When he plays loose and free, he is exceptional. And he's only 17. So he's still learning, you know, when to go, where to be in certain spaces. But, you know, you hear from this team, they love playing with him. They love his talent and his energy. And it just takes experience. I mean, you can't expect him to be 23 right now. And, you know, I think for a guy like Rafa, sometimes we do expect him to be someone in his 20s, and he's not there, and that's okay. But I think we're going to see more and more of him. He does so many good things on the pitch that it's really exciting to watch him and watch him grow. And I think he's going to be a big impactful player for this team moving forward. I just don't think he has had a match where you say, wow, he doesn't belong on the field. Every time he's on there, you say, this kid could make something happen. He should have had the game winner against New York, really. I mean, that, you know, that's experience though, right? That's where just a little bit left, and it's a tough goal, and you've got a lot of things moving through your mind. And but I think next time that happens, that ball's going to the back of the net. And that's where the growth is going to come from him. And but just to see him put in that position is massive. And that's where you got to feel good for Rafa.
And you can see like the confidence growing too, as he gets a little more time. I want to mention, I was at training a couple weeks ago. I don't remember, maybe it was 3 weeks ago. It was a while ago because we've had so many games, and Lee Desmond was on the sideline getting some water during a drill. And I was watching, and Rafa Jauregui made a move, and he just turned to me and he said, "Hey, that guy's really good." That's all he said. And I thought that was very telling for Lee Desmond, who's a vet, who's been around a lot of very talented players in his day, to say that about the 17-year-old. So excited to see him get some more minutes. And we kind of talked about the depth early on in the season. We didn't necessarily talk about Rafa very much. And now it's him and Malik kind of entering in this fold. It's even more guys who can make plays and become a part of the depth of this team. And it's getting harder and harder, I would say, kind of week by week for Briggs to pick an 11 and an 18.
Well, it puts pressure on guys. I don't think you can feel comfortable. You have a nice game, say, okay, well, I'll be in the lineup for the next two games. That may not be the case. And I think That's a great thing. And that's how championship teams ultimately prevail because they have depth. They're constantly tested. And they also have a group that's tight and close, and that helps, you know, is in that recipe as well. But I just think that you have a team with some serious depth, and you're going to need guys to really get to their maximum level. And I think they're building toward that. And that's a good sign.
Lastly, before we let you go, Wednesday night, Open Cup, a great opportunity for Sacramento to likely, I don't know if it's guaranteed or not because the draw is weird in Open Cup, but if they win this game, likely will face a MLS opponent in the next round. I would bet a lot on it, on that happening. But I want to talk about Phoenix, a team that early on in the season struggled, and then they got shut out 3-0 to LA Galaxy 2. That was on May 1st. That was last week. And then they beat San Antonio, one of the best teams in the league, 3-0. And I can't quite figure this team out. We know that they're very, very talented. They've played quite a bit together. They don't have Solomon Asante, who was their best player the last couple of years. They were getting beat on the flanks quite a bit early on in the season. It seems like they've cleaned that up a little bit. And now they are a top four team in the Western Conference. And, you know, there is the rivalry that maybe some of these new guys in Sacramento don't quite understand, but Roro, who is very aware of that rivalry, knocked them out last year when he played for RGV on a free kick and then in PKs. But it's a big match. And I do wish you were calling it, because it would have been a lot of fun to listen to your call. But it's going to be an interesting match. I don't necessarily know. Phoenix is like very hot and cold. What are your thoughts? Yeah, have you got to see them play at all?
Yeah, they've been better lately. I mean, Greg Hurst for them is fantastic. I mean, yeah. He is a goal scoring machine, and he has picked up any kind of slack that Asante has left. I mean, they have won 4 or 5 in USL championship play, so they have been playing better. But you're right, it's sort of this hot and cold where they've figured some teams out and haven't figured others out. I think defensively, that's where they can be had. But I mean, they've beaten San Antonio twice now, and it's a 5-0 aggregate. So
right,
they figured out San Antonio, and San Antonio being one of the best teams in the West. So Phoenix is a team you never count out. But I think if you look at the standings right now, the teams that are in there, you know, Phoenix is definitely one that it's going to be a tough match in the U.S. Open Cup. But Colorado Springs, San Antonio, San Diego, Phoenix, Sacramento, you know, Las Vegas sort of a surprise, but El Paso, I mean, those are the teams you sort of expected to be in the hunt. And I think they're going to be trading places all year long. It's interesting about this. You're playing the U.S. Open Cup, and I think both teams really want to advance. So you're not going to see this as, some guys are going to get some opportunity that don't typically play. No, this is going to be both teams putting their best out there. It's going to be an exciting contest. So go out to Heart Health Park for that one, because it's going to be fireworks.
I'm fired up, man. I love the Open Cup. I wish there was more awareness. We're trying to create more awareness of how awesome it is as a single elimination tournament. Just single elimination games are so much fun. And especially with these two teams, where there's some history of some plays that we don't have to mention, but in elimination games. But I'm just fired up. It's a good opportunity for Wednesday. And Sacramento can really go all out, because they will get a little bit of a break, because they won't play until the following Wednesday. So,
yeah, I think, you know, something in America, they just have a hard time with these in season tournaments, where I think, you know, this is basically March Madness for soccer, you know, yeah. But there's a difference, I think, when you have it across several months, and it's very common across the world, across the globe, but not here. And so I think once that becomes more acceptable, I think you'll see more eyeballs on this. But you're right. I mean, there's a team from, you know, the corner of the country that could go all the way. And that's what makes it so fascinating, so incredible. And Sacramento has a really good chance to make a good run. And we'll see at round of 16 if they are able to take down Phoenix on Wednesday.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. The Hailstorm, just some teams I'm shouting out that I'm excited to watch play, is the Hailstorm. Detroit City upset a MLS opponent. I don't like their home kits. They got the idea from us a little bit too close. It's almost the exact jersey, but whatever. And I think there's a Union Omaha, I think is in this. And there's one other League One team that I can't think of that I've been watching. So I'm fired up for Wednesday. Always a lot of fun to see who's getting upset. And it's a good opportunity. We always root for you don't always root for the upset, but you definitely do on most occasions. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And so I appreciate it. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for coming on, man. Any other team that you're like, that I think is going to be out, that next time we chat is going to be in the playoff hunt, that I'm missing?
No, I don't think so. But I think Las Vegas is legit. I would be surprised if they're not fighting for a spot throughout the entire year. I don't think it's a team you want to sleep on. I don't think that was essentially a bad draw, only the fact that they saw it as a bad draw. I know the players did because they played much better with 25 shots, 10 on goal. But that's, you know, it's still a very good team.
Yep. All right. A lot of season left. Rob McAllister, thank you so much, my friend. And we will, you'll be back on the call next Wednesday, the 18th. That's in El Paso.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Excited for it. And yeah, go Republic Wednesday night.
All right. Thank you, brother. Our thanks to Rob McAllister for jumping on. Coming up later this week, it'll be Thursday, following the Open Cup match, we'll have a recap of that match and a special guest from the past. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but that's coming up later on this week. Thrilled, thrilled, thrilled for the episode coming up later on Thursday. So stay tuned for that. If you missed any of our past episodes, please go back, scroll up. If you go to the Sac Republic Breakaway on Apple or Spotify, you can scroll up, scroll down, whatever that is, and you can find some old episodes there. We thank you for your support. Please rate, review, subscribe, or follow. Let someone know about this podcast if you think they might like it. If not, hey, listen, I get it. I understand. I don't take it personally. And we will see you either on Wednesday or Thursday back here on The Breakaway. We thank you so much, and as always, go Republic!